Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you would like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
Go this way. My son will run over and help you, but I stole it. Hey, if you got a Bible, turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. Let's see. I'm gonna be brief here. Everybody went long this morning. The band, my wife. I blame everybody but me. I forgot my wedding ring at home. It feels so weird. I'll turn around if I forget my watch. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 4. We're in our courageous message series, and God's going to do something very exciting today. He's going to do something very exciting today, and I want you to prepare yourself. 1 Peter chapter 4, starting in verse 14, the apostle writes, "If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory in God rests upon you. Make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer or thief or evildoer or a troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in this name." Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would rest upon this word, you rest upon this people, that you would activate them for what you've called them to do, Father. Father, I pray that the reality of your kingdom will be real to them today. And that your nearness will be real to all of us. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Interesting statement that Peter writes here in verse 14. He said, "You're blessed because the Spirit of glory in God rests upon you." This is how I want to live. I want to live with the Spirit of glory and of God upon me. I want to live my life with the Spirit of glory and of God upon me. I want to live in a way that I carry the presence and power of God and make it real to Boca Raton. I want to make the presence and power of God real for the people of Boca Raton. We're each called to bridge the natural realm and the supernatural realm. We're each called to bridge that realm. We are literally the bridge of that realm. We are the bridge of that realm. That's why we're a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body. Literally, our soul is the bridge of heaven and earth. And it's our job to live in a way that bridges these two realities, to release it in our atmosphere. I liked what Matt talked about, because he talked about having a track record of faith. A track record of faith. You know, anybody can jump off a building, right? Anybody can act like they do parkour, right? Like, we can all jump the same. It's the landing that really differentiates who can do it and who can't, right? I can swing on a high bar. A gymnast can land gracefully, right? It doesn't take faith to do dramatic things. It takes faith to do them successfully, right? And because of the excess in the charismatic church, I sometimes am guilty. I'm sometimes guilty of challenging people to be practical, not in killing the supernatural, but in really testing your fruit, right? And I have seen so many people call things prophecy that were just good ideas. Or they just wanted to sound spiritual, so they say things that never manifest and they never own up to their false words. And I've seen so much of that, and I've seen so many people hurt that they've rejected the supernatural. I would rather a couple drops of legitimate than buckets and buckets and buckets of man-made. Right? And I've been in too many meetings where there was nothing happening but weird. And you're no closer to God because you feel good, right? I want to be close to God. And God manifests in lots of ways, right? And we know that the Spirit of God manifests in lots of ways. And we know that we were told what would happen. The Holy Spirit comes upon us. He would convict the world of righteousness, sin, and judgment, right? And so we know that when the real Spirit of God comes upon us, it begins to convict us of righteousness. Conviction comes, right? And so I want us each, I hope some of you are really challenged just by what they already spoke, just to get a little more bold in our faith steps, right? Not many people are going to be told to go to Africa on faith. And I think it's interesting, the first thing wasn't go to Africa. The first thing was drive to another city in Florida. Right? Go somewhere you're familiar with and believe God for a miracle. Then go somewhere a little bit farther and believe for a miracle. And then there were lots of miracles after that. He didn't have time to go through them all. Way before go to Africa. Too many people hear Heidi Baker's story or hear their story of go to Africa, and they're like, well, I'm going to be super spiritual and go to Africa. You're not ready to go to Africa. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Now, I want to do this scripture justice, right? What Peter's talking about here specifically is that Christians were being murdered because they are Christians, right? The persecution he's talking about is not just that people don't want to invite you over because they're going to drink and they know you don't want to, right? That's not what they're talking about here, right? He's not talking about we're not inviting you to the movies, we're going to see some raunchy movie and we know you won't want to see a raunchy movie. That's not persecution, right? That's not persecution, right? This is people being murdered. This is in Mexico, they're beheading people and they're hanging their heads from bridges as a sign to other people not to do what these people are doing. Like, that's persecution, right? And it's important. I'm not going to teach on that fully because everybody understands what it means to be murdered for Jesus, right? I mean, you understand what that means? Someone says, you're a Christian, I don't like Christians, so I'm going to murder you. Does everybody get that concept, right? We see it happening in the Middle East. You know, the Christians are the most persecuted people on the planet right now. They're getting the least amount of press for it because we're not really sympathetic figures to the media, but more Christians are being murdered than any other minority group on the planet, right? There's whole regions of the world that we're being eradicated from. We, the Christians, our brothers and sisters are being murdered all over the planet simply for the name of Jesus, right? And so that is what Peter is talking about here. I'm not going to teach specifically on that, but there's one thing out of this scripture that I do want to talk about. And I want to challenge you today. What happens when the glory rests upon you? We don't see this level of persecution because we also don't see people hosting this level of glory. We don't see it. We see sometimes Christians in the workplace are treated poorly because they're obnoxious. Right? He never said go into the world and be obnoxious for my name. Don't go out there and tell everybody how amazing you are or how cursed they are because they don't have the word of confession and they don't. That is never what he challenged us. He never challenged us to be obnoxious, right? He never challenged us to do that. But he does talk about what happens when the glory rests upon us. And as a people, I want us to learn how to manage our lives in a way that the glory remains upon us. I want to learn how to manage my life in a way that the glory rests upon me. I want it to stay with me. I want to give a testimony, a praise report. I have talked to you about my heart issues in driving. I've confessed, I had to confess publicly because I was so failing at keeping my heart pure while driving that I'm pretty much walking in victory now. Hallelujah. I'm pretty happy about that. Because I have never been enraged at someone else and felt the presence of God at the same time. And I want to live in the presence of God. I want the glory of God and the glory of God to rest upon me. I mean, if for no other reason than I like it. I like having God with me. I like being in His presence. I've never, in the Lord's Prayer, it talks about keep me from going into temptation and deliver me from evil. I've never felt the presence of God on me leading me to sin. Right? When we kill conviction is when we enter into sin. Right? So I want Him to be present because the Spirit of God brings conviction. And I need conviction in my life. I need transparency. I need openness. I need conviction. And so I want the presence of God on me. For me and for you. You need the presence of God. You need the leaders of this house to be walking in the presence of God. You need the leaders of this house to be walking with integrity. so you can have a holy covering leading you into the presence, right? And so there's an interesting, I'm just going to talk about several scriptures, and then we're going to pray, right? That's what's going to happen today, and I'm going to let you out of here in about 15 minutes. There's an interesting scripture in 1 Kings. You don't have to turn there, but you can. In the story of Elijah the prophet and Ahab, there was never a more wicked king, and there was never a greater prophet, right? There was Elijah, and there was Ahab, right? And Elijah was the man. I mean, if you have a heart to punish people, the old covenant is your zone, right? Like, you love that. Like, you love to be mean to people in the name of Jesus, right? You just, it's amazing how many people who still want to continue that ministry only quote Old Testament scriptures or the judgment of God as if, and they somehow put themselves in that. But we're not in that covenant, praise God. So Elijah, of course, shut up the water, didn't rain, things were getting bad, because God said that they're so wicked that they needed natural consequences. They didn't have the Holy Spirit to convict them. They literally had to have natural consequences tell them when things were going bad, right? If you think about, if it doesn't rain on your crops, you don't eat next year. That would make me say, I'm going to do whatever it takes to keep rain coming. And so for a couple years, it didn't rain. That's like, hello, things, you're not doing things well, right? And so these natural consequences are happening. Here, I'll close. Okay, we good? Excellent. These natural consequences were happening, and they, hear me, they blamed it on Elijah, not on their sin. The prophet represented the presence and power of God. And so they blamed it on Elijah, not their sin. And after the season was ending, Elijah finds the king, and Ahab sees Elijah here in 1 Kings 18:17. He says to him, he says, when Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, is this you, you troubler of, look at this, is this you, you troubler of Israel? He's saying, you're like, your whole people are not doing well, and this whole area isn't doing well, and it's your fault. And what did he do wrong? What did Elijah do wrong? Nothing. But they're blaming him for everybody's problems. They're blaming him for everybody's problems. And if you listen to that, you'll begin to believe it. But there's something that happens when you're walking in purity, when you're walking in righteousness, when you're following God. And you're like, I don't understand why things aren't going well. I don't know if you've ever prayed this prayer. But Lord, I don't understand why things aren't working out. I'm doing everything you're telling me to do. I'm following you, yet life is hard. Things aren't working out how I want. Things seem to be getting worse, as a matter of fact. Elijah made it stop raining. You got to believe people are dying. His people. Right? It rains on the just and the unjust. So people are dying. There's no water. And Elijah and Ahab comes and says, it's your fault. It's your fault. Why did he want to blame him? The glory of God was on him. And when the glory of God rests upon you, when the true presence and power of God rests upon you, people will mistake you for the conviction of God and blame you for the dis-ease that they're feeling in their heart. The problem isn't the movie we're going to see. The problem is that you're around making me feel bad about it. I mean, if you know, how many of you, you're the one Christian, and if somebody curses, they apologize to you. And I'm like, why are you apologizing to me? Let's make it easy. Just give me $20 every time. Just ease your conscience. Just that'll help you out, help me out. Going on a mission trip, right? Miracle money, right? But why do they apologize to you? Have you experienced that? And they apologize to you? Why? Because the righteousness rests upon you, and it brings conviction. And they don't know God, so they associate it with you. Right? Mark 15 is another story. And in Mark 15, there's a demonized guy. You know the story, right? There's a demonized guy who's covered in demons, got lots of demons, got a legion of demons. Jesus comes to this guy, and the demons talk to him, blah, blah, blah. Cast the devil out of him. Right? You know the story, right? and he casts the devil out of them, and then he's clothed and in his right mind. Right? Jesus does stuff and it's like nothing you ever saw before. Right? Because he's literally bridging heaven and earth for the first time. Right? He was the first one who bridged heaven and earth. And people had no grid for it. And it freaked them out. You have to remember how much it freaked them out, right? And in verse 15, it says, they came to Jesus and observed the man who had been demon-possessed sitting down, clothed and in his right mind. You remember they would have to chain crazy people up? They would be so demonized, they would break chains, they would roll in fires, they would just, this crazy stuff would happen, right? Jesus set him free, clothed and in his right mind, the very man who had the legion, and watch the reaction, and they became frightened. They weren't scared of the demonized guy. They saw the demonized guy free, and they got scared. Why did they get scared? Why did they get scared? Because when you encounter the holiness of God, and you don't have a grid for it, it freaks you out. It freaks you out. When you walk in the holiness of God, you come into a room. When your family knows who you were, and all of a sudden you're like, no, I don't want to gossip about that. Yet. No, I don't want to go. No, I don't want to do that. No, I'm not. You guys can do whatever you want. I'm not judging. I'm just, it's not who I am. It freaks people out. You start acting righteous, and all of a sudden they want to start talking about what you used to do. Right? Why? Because they're scared of what's happening to you. Why are they scared? Because conviction is coming upon them of their sin. And if they can discredit the one carrying the conviction, they feel like they can then kill the conviction. And so the enemy is going to try to tempt you to stand in the position of judge. Because if you're the judge, all they have to do is defeat your witness, and now all of a sudden they don't have to react to the conviction. But if you say, it's not me you're upset with. It's not me. It's God upon me. It's the glory of God upon me that is convicting you. I want to be present. I want to be aware of the presence of God in my life. I want to be aware of it. I want to be aware, and I want to walk in a way that I keep him with me. I don't want to live in a way that I'm not walking in it. And I never want to so harm my witness that people don't need to be aware of it with me. Because all of a sudden, if I am in sin, when God is with me, people can now are programmed in their spiritual DNA to see if God is around, it's okay to keep sinning. Now they've just gotten licensed to sin. The ones who are supposed to be carrying the glory. And so I want to live in a way that I can bear witness to the goodness and glory of God. Does this make sense? When you begin to witness to people, sometimes people get pretty upset. If you've ever witnessed to, if you ever witnessed in a mental health facility, you'll see the critters start to act up. You ever go to real demonized areas, people just start screaming at you across the street. Right? Has this happened? People know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. This happens. People just start screaming at you. Right? Like, I've just stood outside and just people start screaming. I'll cast it out of you if you keep talking. Keep talking. I'll cast that thing out of you right now. Like, why? Because the glory that rests upon you will activate those things. And so, the enemy reacts so violently because he wants to train you to shut up when you feel that leading to be righteous. He wants to train you that righteousness equals problems for you. So it would be better for you to be unrighteous. That's the enemy. In any relationship, somebody's teaching somebody. Somebody's discipling somebody. Somebody's training somebody. Somebody is imparting something to someone. Oh, they're just my friends. I mean, I know that, they do, but I don't. Somebody's imparting something to someone. And if the flow is not going that way, it's... Right? You know the saying, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. And so the enemy wants to train you. If you follow me, your life will get worse. When God says, listen, I did not put you here so that you can comfortable in prom king. I did not send you here to be prom king. I sent you here to carry my presence and power to people who desperately need it. And if your win, if the wins of your life are already predefined in heaven, not on what I see around here. I mean, you'll find as you set goals for your life, if you don't find out who you are, who God called you to be, what the identity He had for you before you were ever born, if you don't figure out what that mission for your life is before you were created, and you get that thing confirmed by people you trust, if you get some covering in your life and get some people over you to speak into your life, that you say, I don't know what's going on, but whatever you say, I'm doing it because I don't know what's going on here. If you don't have anybody in your life that you can't submit chaos to and say, I don't know what to do. I'm not talking about what color clothes to wear or where I should. I'm talking about where is, you show me where there's chaos in your life, I'll show you where there's a lack of covering. I promise you there's a lack of covering there. Oh, I don't understand why our ministry's not going anywhere. Who's your covering? Well, I believe Jesus is my covering. Bam! Finances are a wreck. Well, who do you submit your budget to? Nobody. Well, you don't do that well. Figure it out. Get some covering in there. I don't do this well. Right? My wife and I, we fought for about, I don't know, 17 years. We decided, hey, let's go to marriage counseling because we're not doing this well. And I felt like we had a pretty good marriage. This could be better. We need to submit this whole thing to somebody. Somebody local. We have covering out of town. Like, this is not working. We need somebody local. We can sit down and they say, hey, whatever you say, we're going to do. And that's hard. That's called being humble. Because I'm not looking to feel good. I'm looking to be good. I don't want my marriage to look good. I want it to be good. Right? We pulled off look good for a long time. We were ready for be good. You hear what I'm saying? My ministry. I'm like, well, I just got to get some cover. This isn't working. Went to the car. Hey, this isn't working. I have to find something that's working. Submit myself. Let them speak into my life. I'm preaching you what I know. I know it will work. Where there's chaos, there's no covering. And you need somebody in your life when they say, man, this is crazy. It's not going well over here. It's not. And they're like, no. You're looking at this thing all wrong. I mean, what if Elijah went to the I don't know who he would have gone to, but if whoever it is that God had for Elijah to go to. He's like, oh, nobody likes me. This is not going well. And he's like, all right, let's walk through this. What did God tell you? God told me to stop the rain. Why? Because they're in sin. All right. I think you're fine. No. But things like, no. That's not how we're measuring things. This right here. This is how we're measuring things. You're good. Right? So we see the demoniac all of a sudden. When do we have a problem? When the demoniac was demonized and everybody was okay with it? Or when he's free and everybody's scared? People being scared, it can't be the measurement of whether he's doing things okay. Right? He had covering. He had chaos in his life. Jesus came along, provided some covering, and all of a sudden he's free. All the surrounding people didn't like it, but it didn't matter. Jesus already said it was good to go. Are you hearing me? Right? And so if we look at our lives like we got the wrong litmus test on what's going well, all of a sudden we think we're successful, we're not really going anywhere. Right? Like, the goal is not to be the richest man in the graveyard. That cannot be the goal of your life. It just cannot be. There's got to be a higher calling for you. Now, let me say that another way. There is a higher calling for you. There is a higher calling for you. Right? No one, 100 years from now, going to get out a piece of paper and figure out who in the graveyard started the most companies. No one's going to look and say, okay, who's the most popular? You know, no one's going to care, right? But what you do for the kingdom will be written in heaven, right? That has to be the measure. Are you with me? He talks about this in the Psalms. In Psalm chapter 2, he says, why are the nations in an uproar and the people devising a vain thing? Literally, why are you all worked up thinking about that you can come up with a plan that won't come to pass? The kings of the earth, they take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us tear down their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. So we got a lot of people who feel like they're getting somewhere in this world. I mean, we got people who sacrifice their righteousness for likes on Instagram or followers on whatever's popular this month. You know what? I bet if we looked around this room right here, and if you're under, we'll say, 35, right? If you're under 35, and we already lined you all up, I bet there's somebody in this room who had more MySpace friends than anybody else in the room. Does anybody care who that person is? No. But at one point, that was the most important thing going on. Do you hear what I'm telling you? Somebody in this room was the best athlete in middle school. Do you care who that is? I don't. And 40 years from now, one of you is going to be the greatest at something that nobody cares about. That you're giving your life to. And you're going to get up here and say, when I was 24, I had more of this style shoe than anybody. You gave your life to that? In 40 years, Matt and Sean are going to stand up and say, I took a flight to Africa with no money so I could reach the lost. That's still going to have currency on it. I went to Wendy's and invited a girl to church and she got saved and her whole family got transformed. Hallelujah. That's going to carry currency. That's going to carry currency. You hear what I'm telling you? We want to invest our lives in something eternal. And we can only do that if we stay connected to the eternal one. You hear what I'm telling you? Acts chapter 5, don't put it up yet, but Acts chapter 5 is an interesting story. And it talks about more Christian persecution. It talks about people getting jailed and beaten because they healed somebody on the wrong day. I don't know about you, but when I'm sick, today's a good day to get healed. Like, if you went on the Mexico mission, if you plan on going and you didn't stand up for a financial miracle, you need to repent. You just need to repent. Like, you don't need a miracle? No, I don't need any miracles. What's that like? If I had enough financial miracle, I'd just pay for everybody on the Mexico mission team. Why is other people's needs not your need for a miracle? Missionaries are people who say, there's people over there with a need, I'll make that my need. That's what a missionary is. And they cry out to God for breakthrough for someone else to bring it there. That's what a missionary is. I need access to miracles because I'll make their need my need. And if you have a gift of giving, if God has given you that gift to create wealth, you need to find people's needs to be your need. Period. That's got to be part of your mission in life. This cannot be just so you can have the next level of couch, right? Or a little bit, you know, 4-inch bigger TV, you know? They're going to go from a 4K TV to 6L. I don't know. They're going to do something. It can't be for that. It cannot be just so you can have more numbers on your bank account sheet. It cannot be. It's got to be. Got to be more reason than that. You make other people's need your need, and then you partner and you stay connected with God to figure out how you meet that need. That's what the anointing is for. It's not for you. And that scares the world when you're operating from a realm they don't understand. So here in Acts chapter 5, they're healing people. And people don't like it because that's a special day. They don't know how to react to God, so they made a bunch of rules on how to act, react, right? And so they got healed, and people were very mad because they're still preaching Jesus, right? And a real wise guy said, listen, this might be God. When you attack a move, you might want to keep that in mind. This might be God. This might be God. That church that you think is too religious or too liberal, this might be God. Your friend who loves Jesus, but they're telling you something, you're like, I don't really agree with it. This might be God. Right? It's good to stay humble enough to say, this might be God, right? So a smart guy said to them, to the council, this might be God. Let's not kill them. That'll probably not work out well for us. Right? They killed Jesus in Jerusalem. Didn't work out well. Right? So he says, this might not be God. So here's what they did. They decided, okay, we'll listen to him. We won't kill them. We'll just beat them and tell them not to talk about Jesus anymore. Literally, they were arrested and beaten because they healed somebody and talked about Jesus. Right? Beaten. Acts 5:41. So they went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they have been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. Leave that up. Why? Why? Because they associated them with Jesus. That's how they treated Jesus. Hear me. I'm not saying let's hope we get beat, right? I know there's going to be martyrs. I don't necessarily want to be one. Just to be honest, you know, I don't know that I would mind being martyred. I don't want to be tortured. Like, we got to do it. Let's just do it, right? Like, let's. Right? Like, you know, if we got to do it, don't take a video. Don't slice it. Just kill me. Just, right? Like, if we got to go, worst thing you can do is send me to heaven. Don't send me here. Right? I don't want to be tortured. I just don't want to. I don't even want to be hurt. Like, I don't want to miss meals. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't even want to eat too much Mexican food when I go to Mexico. Like, right? You know what I mean? Like, I'm not a great missionary. But, but what they rejoiced was in that they so walked in his presence that they were associated with him. They're treating me just like Jesus. They're treating us just like Jesus. We're getting it. See where their goals were? They didn't go away sad that they didn't convert the whole council. They weren't sad that they were treated poorly. They're excited. Listen, we're on track. They're treating us like, do you get treated like they treat Jesus? Do people treat you like the righteousness of God is sitting upon you? I don't want to. 1 Peter 4:13 said this: to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing. And so what's that look like in your life? What does it look like in your life to carry the presence? What does it look like in your life to stay connected to him throughout your day? What does it look like when you're hanging out with people who may not know him at all? It doesn't mean that you're constantly preaching, but you can stay connected to God while hanging out at the workplace. Like, when you're at work, you're getting paid to work, right? You're not being paid to be an evangelist. All right, you have lunch, you can make friends, you can go out, whatever, but they're not paying you there to be the obnoxious Christian. Not, I mean, maybe unless they hired you to do that. I don't know. Maybe that's in your, and you'll know because it's in your job description. Right? They'll put it in there. And witness tirelessly. Right? It'll be in your job description. If it's not, just do what they're paying you to do or work for free. Say, I'll work for free, but I'm going to tirelessly evangelize. Right? I'll take a pay cut if I can just evangelize. No, we'll just pay the full amount and just do what we pay you to do. Okay. Right? You don't need to compromise. Are you with me here? Come on, Corey. last scripture, and I just want to challenge you. In Acts chapter 10. Don't put it up yet. In Acts chapter 10. Yeah. In Acts chapter 10. If you remember the whole story of Cornelius getting converted, you know, Cornelius was a righteous Gentile. He was crying out for God, hungering for God to come, right? There's visions, there's people who have trances, and he shows up on the scene, right? Excuse me, Peter. I said Paul. Peter. Peter shows up on the scene. Watch this. Acts chapter 10, verse 25 says, when Peter entered, Cornelius met him, fell at his feet, and worshipped him. Fell at his feet and worshipped him. Why? He was so hungry for the presence of God. He detected it on Peter and instantly began worshiping. There's the presence. I must worship. Peter rightly said, stand up. I too am just a man. I don't know when's the last time someone thought you were a prophet of God who didn't know God. Someone thought that maybe you were a demigod. Maybe someone thought that you were something more than a person because the presence of God is so strong upon you. This is what it looks like to walk in the presence. That people begin to confuse you. Okay, wait a minute. What are you? I'm just a believer, but he's on me. When I show up in the room, anything is possible. Anything is possible when I show up, because I am connected to him. That's not a confession I'm making. I'm living in a way that I stay connected to him. Listen, you're going to go on the mission field, you better figure out how to work this out or you're going to be exhausted, broke. If you feel called to ministry, or you're ministering already, I want to challenge you. If you're part of this house, I need you to hear this. better learn how to live in a way that you stay connected to Him. Otherwise, you're going to wind up just ministering out of your gifts. And that is exhausting. Because you aren't the gift. He is. If you don't know how to live out of that, you are not going to last. And then you got to start controlling people and making them think that you're someone you're not. You have to learn to live out of His presence. Allow Him to do things that you can't do on your own. This is what all of us are called to. Listen, I am praying that every person who calls Revival Life Church their home church would be completely, would own their own home debt-free. Like I am believe we're called to own property in the city. We're called to own property in this area. And I mean own it, not me and the bank, me. This is my property for the kingdom. I plant a flag right here, I own it. I'm not borrowing it, not renting it, I own it. It's mine, right? I'm believing that. But we got to learn, like Matt said, we got to learn how to release His presence little by little. I mean, for some of you, it may happen suddenly. If you just believe the word I just said, you may receive a house this week. I don't know. I want to pray for you. Why don't we just stand here? I'm going to pray for you. If you could just, I'm going to release you in about just a couple minutes. We can just not have anybody walk around right now. Just kind of put your, wow, there he is. You just get in a position to receive whatever that looks like for you. Put your hands out, whatever you need to do. But I want you to be aware of the presence right now. Some of you may feel like a burning feeling on your chest. You may feel a heaviness. You may feel it on your head. You may feel it in your hands. Lord Jesus, I just, today, Lord, we want to be connected to You. You're the one that we seek, Lord. It's all about You, Jesus. And it's our desire that South Florida would know You. So, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for each and every person in this room that they would find somebody to submit their chaos to. So that nothing blocks Your presence and Your power in their lives. Father, right now that You would invade every heart in this room, right now, Jesus. All over this room, Jesus. All over this room, Jesus. All over this room, Jesus.